Well, good morning, friends, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kelly S. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Today is Tuesday, July 30th, 2024, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Vision for You meeting. Today, we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are in More About Alcoholism. We're on page 35, third paragraph. We told him what we knew of alcoholism. We're reading through that one paragraph there to the end of the page. It says, for whom he had a deep affection, commenting on just that one paragraph. So today, our readers are the 12 steps will be Rivka K, 12 traditions, Patrick O. Colleen M is going to be reading the text. Danny P is reading page 164. And Craig F is our backup reader. Our newcomer greeter today is Chris W. And our second hour host is Christine G. So the reference number for yesterday, if you missed that meeting, want to hear it again, Monday, July 29th, 2024, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 21610, 21610. And the 10 a.m. Eastern Time is 21611, 21611. Can't even read a script. All right, OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, quote, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers, end quote. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now have Rivka K. read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Rivka.
Hi, good morning, Kelly. Thanks so much for your service. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer or meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Rivka. And now Patrick O. is going to read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. This is Patrick O., recovering compulsive eater in recovery. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our commonwealth first personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Patrick O. So here's how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we do ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no absence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, you'll press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today we're resuming our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are in More About Alcoholism. We're on page 35. We're in that third paragraph there. It says, we told him what we knew of alcoholism. We're going to read through that one paragraph into the page there with it, for whom we had a deep affection, commenting on that one paragraph. And I will now have Colleen M. get us started. Good morning, Colleen.
Hey, good morning, Kelly. Thank you. It's Colleen M. from Maryland, grateful recovered compulsive overeater. We told him what we knew of alcoholism and the answers we had found. He made a beginning. His family was reassembled, and he began to work as a salesman for the business he had lost through drinking. All went well for a time, but he failed to enlarge his spiritual life. To his consternation, he found himself drunk half a dozen times in rapid succession. On each of these occasions, we worked with him, reviewing carefully what had happened. He agreed he was a real alcoholic and in a serious condition. He knew he faced another trip to the asylum if he kept one. Moreover, he would lose his family for whom he had a deep affection. Wow, there's just so much in this paragraph to talk about. But what this, some of the things that come to mind for me was how often had I made a beginning in the 25 years when I first walked into my first OA meeting till now. I would get some relief. I would get on a healthier food plan. I would get some weight off. I would start feeling better about myself. And then I would rest on my laurels and fail to enlarge on my spiritual life. And I would be back in the food again, you know, wondering why. And all of the losses that I've experienced. And so it makes me think of, you know, self-knowledge avails us nothing. You know, we stand at the turning point and, you know, we have to, you know, I can't remember it fully, but, you know, basically, you know the nurse. So, you know, self-knowledge did not fix him. And then, you know, he failed to enlarge on his spiritual life, which I think is the biggest, you know, red flag here. And on page 59, it says half measures avail us nothing. We stood at the turning point and we asked his protection to care with complete abandon. I got to a point, thank God, where I had stood at that turning point, you know. And the turning point for me is work in the steps. Here are the steps that we took as a suggestion, which are suggested in the program recovery. You know, they're not suggestions for me. You know, this is my medicine. If I believe I have this disease and that no human power can help me, then I need a power and I need to do these steps to get to that power, to get unblocked. So today it's not It's not OA light. You know, this is what has saved my behind and gotten me recovered. And my spiritual life continues to grow and change and, you know, expand. And God continues to show me things that I need to uncover and discover and discard. And when I'm working with sponsees and they pick up, you know, I used to get so bewildered by that. But, you know, today I understand that, I picked up many times. So I wasn't done with the food. You know, I just wasn't done. And thank God, you know, today, if I keep doing, I can be done. And so that's what I got out of this. And thanks for letting me do service. And I look forward to hearing the rest of everyone else's shares. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Colleen, for getting us started. All right, guys. So now we're going to open up the meeting for sharing. And although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared last Friday or yesterday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes so we can have as many people as possible. I'll remind you when time is up. Give me your first name, initial of your last, and where you're calling from. I'm ready.
Harlan G.
Rachel from Boston.
Rachel K.
Melody
G. Rachel
K.
Larry K.
Christina J.
Cheryl A.
Ron Barney,
okay.
Florida.
All right. Hang on 1 second. Here's who I got. All right. Harlan G, Katie G, Melissa C, Rachel K, Jennifer C, Cheryl A. I know there were others.
Carolyn
Bonnie B.
Reva P. Christina J.
Roz G.
Larry K.
Oh, Larry. Okay, let's stop here. Let's stop here. Okay, here's who I have. I have Harlan, Katie, Melissa C, Rachel K, Jennifer C, Cheryl A, Carolyn, then get your initial, Reva P, good girl, I know Reva, Bonnie B, Larry K, and Roz G. So if I didn't get you, we'll try to get you next time. Let's make sure everybody's muted, star one, and then we'll get started with Harlan, followed by Katie. Good morning, Harlan, get us going.
Good morning, Kelly. Thank you very much. I'll do my best. We told him what we knew of alcoholism. That's step one. What did they tell him? What did they know of alcoholism? They told him about the allergy of the body and the twist of the mind. They told him that. And the answer we had found, step two, the spiritual answer, and he had made a beginning. That's steps one, two, and three, because three is described as a beginning and or a decision. His family was reassembled. Things are starting to go good for him. And then we read these words, but he failed to enlarge his spiritual life. How do you enlarge your spiritual life? Let's take a look at page 14. Bottom of the page, 14. My friend, Ebby, had emphasized the absolute necessity of demonstrating these principles. Principles are the steps in all my affairs. Particularly was it imperative to work with others as he had worked with me. Imperative means important above all else, to work with others. In other words, sponsorship. Faith without works was dead, he said, and how appallingly true for the alcoholic. For if an alcoholic failed to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life, isn't that what we just read? He failed to enlarge his spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice for others. So it's telling me in that paragraph in Bill's story that unless I'm sponsoring other people, I'm not perfecting and enlarging my spiritual life. I pray, I meditate, I do a lot of different things. But the way specifically I enlarge my spiritual life is to sponsor other people. And he gets drunk a half a dozen times. Now, here's a telltale thing that's going to catapult us into the next couple of paragraphs. He knew he faced another trip to the asylum if he kept on, because he agreed he was a real alcoholic and he was in serious condition. That's not even going to slow him down. And in the next couple of paragraphs, we're going to see the pronoun I 19 times in the first paragraph of 36 and 7 times in the second paragraph on 36. 26 times, we're going to see the pronoun I. It never occurs to him while he's putting whiskey in milk and going back to the asylum to think about anybody else. That's the nature of this disease. So with all the knowledge he had of alcoholism, with all the answers they had found, he made a beginning. It didn't even slow him down. He never went out and did the rest of the steps. What's the purpose of step three? He made a beginning. What's the purpose of step three? The purpose of step three is so that I will work the rest of the steps. I'm not turning anything over to anybody in step three. I'm making a decision to do so. And how do I do that specifically? By doing the rest of the steps. He never sponsored.
That's time, Harlan.
Out of himself. All right, all right. Thank you, Kelly. Thanks for your service. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Harlan, for getting us started there. All right, Katie G. and then Melissa C. Good morning, Katie.
Hey, Kelly. Thanks for taking the meeting. Good morning, everyone. This is Katie G., recovered eater in Boston. And, I'm so glad Harlan quoted that because I was thinking about it. If he failed to enlarge his spiritual life through self-sacrifice and work with others. So I was really confused. I thought that perfecting and enlarging my spiritual life meant going to Kripalu, meant meditating on a hill, meant, you know, self-care, self-love. But it doesn't. It means self-sacrifice with others. You know, for me, I just wanted that beginning. I wanted a pill. Like my whole life, I wanted a pill. And I still do. Like I have chronic medical conditions right now, and I just want to go to the doctor and the doctor to say, boom, shakalaka, here's your medication, you're done, you're cured. But that's just not the way life works. And I wanted the steps to work that way. I also wanted everybody to understand how hard my life had been and how much I had suffered. And so I shouldn't have to suffer any longer. And what I really relate to is getting everything in my life that I want. You know, almost 3 years ago, I had everything in my life. You guys know, I had a house. I have a beautiful husband. I finally had children. It was impossible nearly for me to have children. And yet, I couldn't stay abstinent. I had lost 17 pounds. I was the walking dead. I was screaming on the line. I had no emotional sobriety because I was exercising 2 hours a day because I was the only thing I thought of. And I have to tell you, I wanted to go to a hospital. I was like, bring it on. Like, I don't care. Take me to a hospital. Fix me. Make me better. I don't want to deal with these people. You know, and the thing is, I'll never forget that day. I called someone and I said, my life is too hard. I'm just a mess. I can't fix this. And I just want to go to a hospital. And she goes, you don't need to go to a hospital. You need to grow up. And she's right. These 12 steps are about growing up. It's about accepting responsibility for me and for my life and for the most important relationship that I have, which is God. Abstinence is not the solution to my life today. It is the beginning. But God is the solution to my life. And if you're a newcomer and the word God makes you uncomfortable, don't worry about it. Eating's going to make you more uncomfortable. The solution today is God. And how do I get to God? Through doing the 12 steps. How do I stay with God? Through doing the 12 steps. So I'm just so grateful that I know when I go out, like that was, I'll just wrap with this. That was the other thing I wanted to say. When I go out, when I think everything external is going to fix me and I don't go in, I go without. And I don't want to go without God for another day. And with that, I pass.
Perfect timing, Katie G. All right, next up we have Melissa C. followed by Rachel K. Good morning, Melissa.
Hey, good morning, Kelly. Thanks so much for your service. I'm Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York. And, you know, when I read this paragraph, what it makes me think about is, he picked up half a dozen times in rapid succession. And I think about, you know, the experiences that I've had working with others, and one of the things that's probably the most frustrating is when you're helping somebody or working with somebody or you know someone in this program and they pick up half a dozen times in rapid succession. And the inside, what you know, I've heard before and what was done at different points to me and people I know, was they were kind of cast aside. You know, the thought was like, you don't want it, or you don't take this seriously, or you haven't taken step one. And here it actually says he did take step one. He knew. He agreed he was a real alcoholic and was in serious condition. And he knew what the consequences were going to be, that he could face another trip to the asylum, and he knew what he would lose. He would lose his family, and that he had a deep affection for them. And I look at, you know, oftentimes I share pictures with people of what it was like for me. And my early pictures are me in morbid obesity with a family that I had a deep affection for. And I thought deep affections for my family could cure me of this problem, and it couldn't, just like it couldn't cure him. You know, and so people worked with him on each of these occasions, and they didn't just say, what did you eat? But it was, you know, we went over carefully, reviewing carefully what had happened. And that is some of the most painstaking work to do with someone, to go over. And I know for myself, I never wanted to go over carefully what happened. I wanted to, like, eat and then, you know, and then reappear a month later, serious and meaning business. But that's not what happened here. It was a willingness, you know, to review carefully what had happened. And oftentimes, you know, it's not to go over in a way to make a person feel like crap, you know, to point out where they failed, like fail, but more to say, here's where you went off the beam. Here's where, you know, like, he clearly had a resentment. I mean, we can kind of, we'll know that in the next paragraph. And that he failed to enlarge his spiritual life, yes, through work and self-sacrifice for others. And if you're not at the point where you're ready to sponsor, you can still practice self-sacrifice for others, especially if you have a family that you have a deep affection for. There are many ways that we can practice self-sacrifice before we're ready to transmit, you know, the message. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Another perfect timing. Okay, let's see. We have Rachel K. followed by Jennifer C. Good morning, Rachel.
Good morning, Kelly. Thank you for leading the meeting. You were doing names this morning, so thank you for your service. Rachel K., compulsive overeater, recovered from Indiana. This paragraph, and it talks about enlarging your spiritual life, it's so imperative that I not coast. You know, I cannot coast. I have to keep growing. You know, they talk about 10, 11, and 12 being the maintenance steps. They are not the maintenance steps. They are the growth steps. And sometimes growing hurts. Sometimes it is very uncomfortable. And self-sacrifice, you know, it can mean sponsoring. It can mean reaching out to a still-suffering compulsive overeater. But it can also mean sacrificing my rights. You know, in the acceptance is the answer, it says when I let go of my rights. When I can let go of life being fair or of this isn't fair or being right all the time. You know, if I can let go of that and be generous of spirit, you know, that is enlarging my spiritual life. And sometimes it's really uncomfortable because life is supposed to be fair, right? No. When I let go of that and enlarge my spiritual life to let go of my character defects or to ask God to lift them when I become willing, that is enlarging my spiritual life. So there's a lot of ways I can do that. You know, self-sacrifice means, you know, literally sacrifice of self, less self, more God. When I stop thinking about me all day long, you know, am I going to do this? Self-centered fear, you know, is this person going to be mad at me? Is this person going to be upset? If I send this email, is that going to do that? When I get out of self, sacrifice myself and enlarge my spiritual life and make God the center of my life rather than me, things go so much better. Unfortunately, Jim didn't do that, as we will see in the next paragraph, but yeah, I just pray that I have the clarity to see that, you know, before tragedy hit. So anyway, thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thanks so much, Rachel K. All right, next up, Jennifer C., followed by Cheryl A., I think it is. Good morning, Jennifer.
Hey, good morning. Jennifer C., recovered in Greenville, South Carolina. Thanks, everyone, for your service and shares. So when I look at this play-by-play and I think about my own process, fail to enlarge his spiritual life, and, of course, we have that sentence that highlights, you know, that service and self-sacrifice, and that's definitely part of it, right? Like I need to be willing to lay my life down. But more importantly, because I can be using step 12 like a drug all day long, right? Service and self-sacrifice, service and self-sacrifice, service and self-sacrifice. Meanwhile, how many 10 steps do I still have yet to do? Meanwhile, how much time did I really spend in the presence of God today? Listening, reflecting, laying down my burdens. Right? Or am I just taking another call and feeling like I'm doing pretty good because I have all the answers for everybody else? But where am I really? Where am I really? And so I'm reminded that, you know, my spiritual life starts with taking a certain position of humility. Page 63, that I have to sincerely take a position. What's the position? I have a new employer. Why am I doing the service? Why am I doing the self-sacrifice? So that you think I'm awesome? So that I can avoid the laundry? Or because I'm working for God, right? Because I'm offering myself to God today and I want to be a channel. And sometimes that means answer the phone. And sometimes that means let it ring and focus on your family. And I have to stay in tune with power and conscious contact, right? He provides what I need when I perform his work well. And step 11 tells me that I need to be in constant prayer for knowledge of his will and then the power to carry it out. I don't always assume I know what his will is. There's times I've answered the phone when I shouldn't have. And the feedback I gave was not good because I was irritated and agitated and felt like a martyr because I had given too much service that day. So I think that it's so critical that I continue to take step 3 over and over and over again. And step 1, it starts there, right? He made a beginning. He needed to know that his life depended on sobriety. He needed to know he couldn't touch it. He needed to know that as soon as he does, game over, right? But he needed to know that with God, he was nothing. And that's what we see in Bill's story, that Bill came to a place where he truly said, without God, I am nothing. I can do nothing. And I need God for everything. And that's where it has to start for me. Otherwise, I can be doing all the things and still I have it a little bit off the mark. And because of that, I can go eat. I can eat because I'm worn out. I can eat because I've become
imbalanced.
And balance is a synonym for sanity. And so with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Jennifer C. All right, next up we have Cheryl A., followed by Carolyn. Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning. Hi, this is Cheryl A., recovered compulsive overeater in Brookline, Massachusetts. I've just loved every single one of these shares and have appreciated learning together what this really means to enlarge our spiritual life. My own experience brings me right to the 11th step. There's this that I have to sought through prayer and meditation to improve. That word improve reminds me of the word enlarge. Improve my conscious contact with God as I understand God. And then it tells me exactly what to pray for, and which is his knowledge for me and the power to carry that out to be of service to others. So there's this balance of my relationship with God, my investment in that, my investment in growing that, and then how I play that out, you know. So there's like, there's this, there's what am I doing to be in conversation, to be in developing this relationship? And it says, where does it say this? I think it's in this. Let's see. I can't find it. It is basically a quote. I think it's in the family afterwards that relates to this idea of like in breath, out breath. I mean, that's what it reminds me of. There's in breath, out breath, and the enlargement of my spiritual life. And the truth is, one of the greatest joys of this 12-step process has been the ability to enlarge my spiritual life in so many different ways, whether it's through service and focusing on the other outside of me, or whether it's exploring greater depths of meditation. I wear something called an aura ring, which tracks my heart rate and my heart rate variability and these different biomarkers. And every single time I pray and meditate, all of my markers get positively, my biomarkers improve. It's really fascinating. Every single time. And so I know that there's this in-breath and out-breath. There's this talking to God, relationship with God, expanding my understanding through my own religion, let alone through going deep inside where I know I can access Him. And then as I play that out in sponsorship, in service, there's a joy that becomes truly ineffable. And enlarging my spiritual life today is probably the single most important part of my program in this balance of in breath and out breath. And with that, I pass.
All right, thanks, Cheryl. Let me tell you guys where we're at. So we are in More About Alcoholism. Of course, we're in the big book. Page 35, third paragraph. We told him what we knew of alcoholism, reading through the end of the page there to for whom he had a deep affection. So we're going to move on with Carolyn, which I did not get the initial of your last name, followed by Reva P. Good morning, Carolyn. What's the initial of your last name and where are you calling from?
Hi, good morning. Sure. Carolyn S. Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, Carolyn S.H. From Massachusetts, but I'm currently in New York. I'm trying to start my timer. I love when we talk about Jim. I so identify with Jim. So the fact that I love how it's been highlighted that he knew, like he knows all about himself here, but he's failing to enlarge his spiritual life. And for me, enlargement, like I picture expansion and spiritual life. Like in one of the things I was taught is, I think from step either 3 or 11, probably 3, that we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood God. That life will means our thoughts and life means our actions. And he failed to live in the realm of spirituality with his higher power and following the dictates of a higher power, which is in, I think, working with others. What's really cool is last night I had a conversation with a fellow. And we were talking about picking up, and she was talking about how she recently picked up, and I was talking about my experiences with that, and how it's we were kind of saying, you know, it's not about not doing step 10s, and it's I really identify it. It makes I know when I'm being when I'm prioritizing my connection with my higher power, when I'm trying to do God's will, when I'm trying to let go of resentment, when I'm using the amazing tool of the 10th step. Most of the time when I do the 10th step, a release and a clarity and a kind of breathing out. And most of the time, when I'm speaking to someone else, we always end up saying something like, oh my God, we have this amazing tool. How do other people do it? How do other people live in the world without this tool, without the ability to let go of things? I know in the next paragraph we're going to hear from Jim how he felt irritated going to work, you know, for a business that he once owned. And for me, you know, little irritation, that sounds like a big irritation to me. Little irritation, big irritation, they will take me out. And I won't be able to hear God's guidance. I won't have impulses that are in alignment with any well-being for anybody, including myself. And it's all about, and we were talking, I know my time's almost up. One thing that came up in our conversation last night was, you know, you're either moving forward or you're moving back. There's no standing still. So today, thank God, I...
That's time, Carolyn.
...spiritual life. Thank you. Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you so much for sharing. All right, next up, Reva P. followed by Bonnie B. Good morning, Reva.
Good morning, Kelly. Hi, this is Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto. So what strikes me, as other people have shared, is failing to enlarge my spiritual life. And yes, you know, work and self-sacrifice. And for me, that interaction of 10, 11, and 12, which is basically all the steps and entire abstinence all the time, and the reminder that, you know, it's about the action. Step 1, 2, and 3 are not so much action doing kinds of steps and staying in the actions. And then, you know, that line when we...
35, you didn't tell me a time to wake you up.
So that line that when we straighten out spiritually, then I straighten out mentally and physically, and that the focus here, you know, yes, sponsoring, step work, all that stuff, but the focus for me is to clear my channel and access and develop a relationship with this power. And once I'm in alignment with this power, God shows me where to go, what to do, who to help, when, how, you know, in the family, in the program. The priority is though to keep that connection, that relationship, so that I'm accessing power. I can't describe it right now in words, but and then for me, it's really important, the second part of this paragraph, that's what happened to me. When I came in, I sort of got this, but I was still binging. And thank you, God, for the sponsor who worked with me, reviewing carefully. You know what she did? We rewound in slow motion, because I was in that headspace of suddenly, I don't know what happened. My hand was on the fridge. Here I am binging. What happened? How could that happen? I better try harder next time. No, I reviewed what happened, and then I got to see what we see as we read Jim's story. I was this. I was that. I had 20,000 eyes going on. I was resentful. So I could back it up and become aware and start calling out the disease sooner before the food was the last thing to go. That was so, so important for me. And there was something else I had to, but you know what? Anyway, when I'm in alignment, all of these things, oh yes, I cannot give away what I don't have. I need to keep growing spiritually so that when I work with others, I have depth and weight and more depth and weight and more depth and weight to what I can give away. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Reva. Sorry, I interrupted you. That was me. Forgot to mute. That's it. Y'all get to hear me wake up my wife. All right, so next up was, it's going to be Bonnie B. followed by Larry K. Good morning, Bonnie.
Good morning, Kelly. Thank you for your service. And thank you for the shares, everyone. They're absolutely over the top, as always. Bonnie B., located in Florida, gratefully recovered by the grace of God today. So I'm always amazed when we study this book, because paragraph after paragraph, what do I hear? I hear the love of my God being poured out upon others. We told him what we knew about alcoholism. All that screams to me is relationship. relationship, relationship, relationship with no strings attached. What would I have done if I did not feel a genuine, sincere acceptance and love from others when I relapsed over and over and over and over in this program? I would have been back in the closet with the baseball bat. You know, this is my belief. People don't care how much I know until they know how much I care. And this program drives that home. You can drop down just a couple of sentences. You know, they don't focus so much on, I mean, yes, it's mentioned, right? He failed to enlarge his spiritual life. Get that. How do I know what I don't know? I don't know what I don't know. And so every day is a new beginning. But if you drop down, it says, you know, he found himself drunk half a dozen times. And what did they do? I mean, what did we do? What did people do for me? Why did I keep coming back? Why did I eventually get the aha moment? Because people didn't kick me to the curb. Because they said, you know what? Not a problem. Not a problem. Let's just slow it down. Let's back it up. Let's just put the brakes on for a second. Get it, got it, been there, done it. Just such a place of the gift of being able to go back and know that people genuinely care, and it's not based upon whether or not they get me recovered or I get recovered. It's just because they care. And it does require self-sacrifice, which means I have to die to myself. But, if, you know, for anyone that didn't get a chance to listen to the Sunday special edition, it's worth listening to because it was a powerful one. One of the statements that this precious fellow said was, without prayer, there is no program. And what does prayer do? It draws me closer to my God so that I, once again, for today, for the next 20 seconds, am willing to die to myself. And that would be my family. That would be people I see on the street. That would be anyone that I come in contact with, including fellows in this program. We are so blessed, and I am so grateful for each and every one of you. And, I don't know where I'd be if I didn't have a lot of people just pouring out love nonstop. And so that's the thing I want to give back to others. And I can't do it without my God, but he certainly gives me the grace to do it. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks, everyone. Be blessed.
Thanks so much, Bonnie B. All right, next up, Larry K., followed by Roz G. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Kelly. Thanks so much for your service. I'm Larry K. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in the Chicago area. You know, we cannot enlarge our spiritual life with God as long as we're embroiled in shame and a feeling of fraudulence. Have you ever experienced that? I have. When I haven't worked the program, when I haven't put the food down, when I know in my heart of hearts that I'm not in a recovered state of being, I can't help others, truly help others in the context of this program. I can certainly try. But if I do, I will feel the shame. Unless I'm a psychopath and I have the inability to feel that. But let's presume you're not. And I will not, I will feel the shame and the fraudulence of trying and the selfishness of being a hypocrite and trying to expand my relationship with God, enhance and expand this, enlarge this through service and self-sacrifice for others in the way that the program calls, which is being a Sherpa, being a sponsor, working intensively with others. So instead of our character, our defects of character showing up in my behaviors, you know, in other words, something we do. Shame and fraudulence makes it who we are. That's just how we feel. And when this happens, guess what I do? Anything that will temporarily make me not feel. And you know what works well? Well, I guess for a drunk, whiskey in his milk would work pretty well to numb him out. You know what works even better for people like us? How about chocolate syrup in our milk? That would work pretty good. You know, there are folks who are told to sponsor up to whatever step they're on. God bless them, you know. But that's not going to work. That's like a brand new physician. I've heard recently, I was talking to someone, a brand new physician who's put in charge of the ER department. Is that an ER department you want to go to? Seems like there may be some steps that were missed along the way before they're placed in a position to save lives. you know, in our case, through God helping us to save lives, we have to have had a spiritual awakening, a spiritual experience through the implementation of these steps. You know, if you need brain surgery, don't call me. Don't call me. See, shame is an intensely painful feeling that makes us feel unworthy of love and belonging, and we can't be of real use to other people. So what we can be given information on how to work the steps, and then we have to work them. And when we work them, then we'll be in a position to be of uniquely helpful to others. No PhD required in this. You have experience. You've worked the steps. You've had a transformation. Now you can help others. And, oh, boy, that's going to bring you into a beautiful relationship with your higher power. You'll grow that relationship. But when shame is your identity, it creates your misery. With that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Larry. All right. Next up is Raj G, and I did hear Christina J, too, so I put her at the end there. So, Raj, you are up next.
Okay. Hi, Kelly. Thank you so much for your service, and thanks for everybody's shares. My name is Raj G, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California, Los Angeles County. So I want to, you know, we've had a lot of shares and lessons about what all this is. And so I'm just going to kind of like talk about how this, what this means to me. I would like to say that I try to live my life on spirit, based on spiritual principles every day due to the big book, the Alcoholics Anonymous, due to these meetings. I must give credit where credit is due. And I have to say that these meetings and getting sponsors that have, you know, got me into this book helped, and going to, you know, going to in-person meetings as well, taught me how to live by spiritual principles. And so today I try every day to live by spiritual principles. And one of those is, you know, to be kind to others, because it says here that, he found himself drunk half a dozen times in rapid succession. And on each of these occasions, we worked with him. So they worked with him six times that he got drunk. And I ask myself, do I give people that I work with six times after they eat? Sometimes I do not. And this reminds me that I need to remember that I have failed time after time after time, being in OA for 20 some years and having about five years of abstinence. And it took me many years, and I still may fall again. I don't want to do that, but I certainly hope that someone will be kind to me and I'll be able to get back up again. So today I, you know, my self-sacrifice is waking up very, very early in the morning and working with people. There's been a child care shortage at church, and I have been working with the child care, and it's not the most fun thing to do. Changing diapers. I haven't done that in 20-some years, and I did that on Sunday. But yeah, it felt so good to help somebody, help a little kid that really needed it, and where I was simply doing it for God and nobody else. These things just give me such a boost of self-esteem, and of course, working with others and sponsoring and being kind and loving. Am I answering that question yes or no every night on my nightly review? So I try to live by spiritual principles every day as a result of these meetings and the Book of Alcoholics Anonymous and my God in heaven. And I want to pray, just pass there. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Raj G. Next up, I have Christina J, and then we'll probably have room for another share. Christina, you there still?
Wow, what a God shot. I didn't know I was on the list. Okay, so I've been thinking about the first line. He made a beginning. And for everybody out there, you know, years and years ago, I made a beginning when I first stepped into the room of OA. I didn't know it was a beginning, but I knew there was something wrong with me. For years and years, I went into the rooms and I would stick my toe in, and I knew I was a compulsive overeater. I just didn't know how to find the recovery. There was never any sponsors available. So So anyway, long story short around that, because many of us have experienced that, I stepped into vision in 2014 by another weird series of God shots, and I'm the true beginning on step one, right? And through the years, up until 4 months ago, I was in and out of relapse. I had about 3 years at one point, which was glorious. But I never, if I look back, let's take this seriously, for me anyway, I never had to make another beginning. I knew I was powerless over food. I had to go back to step one several times and really get it and study it and all that. But this is a continuance. This is a continuance. And as long as you are continuing to come to this meeting and seek the solution, you have made a beginning way back when you first put your toe in the room. No, I mean, I always hated to relapse. Oh, I have to start over. No. It's not about starting over. It's about continuing. Because, you know, through the years, I learned more and more and more. And each relapse took me deeper and deeper into knowing what my step one was. And we all know what it is. You can't take one bite. I can't take one bite of my allergic food. I have a food plan, but it's just a food plan around not having my non-abstinent food. That's all. It's not like this rigid thing. I just can't have my non-abstinent foods. So be at peace if you're in relapse. You know, you've already made a beginning. You just continue on. You continue to come to these meetings. You continue reaching out. You continue trying. Because one day, you're going to finally say, I can't take this anymore. And this willingness from the grace of God is going to come up from your center of your being and fill you with a desire to make it through whatever you have to go through, headaches, withdrawal, depression, feelings coming up. But you see, we have these 12 steps, and we have this power within us. We reach out to others, and we reach in. We reach out to others, and we reach in, and we study these steps, and we take them. And walk this glorious path. There's never beginning after beginning after beginning after beginning. You know, you fail to enlarge your spiritual life. You fail to continue. See, he didn't continue, but we continue. So keep coming back. Keep trying. Keep doing the do, because you're going to get it. And it's a glorious trip. And it took me a long time. But I finally, with the grace of God and continuing to do this program, I feel like that, please God, that I don't have to go back.
That's time, Christina. Thank you so much, Christina J. Okay, we have room for one more share. Who would like that?
Jen A.
Jen, go ahead.
Thanks, Kelly. Thanks for taking the meeting this morning. And wow, what a powerful paragraph to read. You know, more about alcoholism, more about my disease, how it's going to manifest. And powerless for me is over people, places, institutions, and yeah, the food too. Right? But the food wasn't my problem. It was all of you. It was life that was the problem for me. And food was my solution to the problem. So getting abstinent for me when I first walked in the rooms, you know, I put down the food. I was working a food plan. I was eating healthy. I was staying skinny. I mean, okay, so great. But that wasn't the problem. The problem for me here that I see is that my ego is the problem. And you know what? I can find God and serve him in ministry for 14 years and think I'm doing the deal, you know. But in the combination of the two, and hear me say this, I was serving God, I was doing whatever, and I was still eating. But when I put down that food entirely and I started embarking on this journey, and I really went all in, admitting I was powerless over food, that my life was unmanageable. You know, right? That's the first step. My life was unmanageable because I was managing it. Let's not forget the second half, Jennifer. And you know what I can still do today? And I'm still doing it. I was just at a retreat this weekend for 4 days. And all I could hear God say to me was ego, ego, ego. And when I came in these rooms, I heard you guys say that ego stood for edging God out. So it doesn't matter if I've been in for 5 days, 5 weeks, 5 years, 5 decades. I can still edge him out. And how do I do that? By going, okay, God, well, I think I got this. You know, food can be down. Life can be grand. But I can still be pages 60 to 63, running and stepping over the toes of my fellows, thinking I'm saying things nice, but my tone is sharp. Turning around and being, you know, super cranky and, oh, sorry, you know, apologizing. No. I can still go back to that place. I'm human. We're all human. And the word fail in this paragraph, it scares me. I don't want to be a failure. I failed all my life. Failed with my family, failed in relationships, failed with everything. I don't want to be a failure. God doesn't see me as a failure. He sees me as a follower. And I love the word that last share just used, seek. When I seek God, when I seek him with all my heart, in complete abandon, and make him the Lord of my life, then what happens? He can come in and do the miraculous time and time again, but I have to keep turning it over to God day after day, night after night. You know, what corrective measures are you going to take tomorrow, Jennifer? And I wrote them down after I did my nightly review last night. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to serve others.
That's time, Jenna.
I'm going to keep my house clean. But most of all, I'm going to trust that a power greater than myself is always going to restore me back to sanity if I ask for it. Thanks, Kelly. I pass.
Thanks so much, Jen, for taking us out. All right, guys. Well, thank you for everybody who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. So the share ID for today, July 30th, 2024, is 21613. 21613. So we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Danny P., will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yeah, thank you, Kelly, for your service and all the shares. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others.